We're live. All right, it is 9:30. Time for we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet. Big panel tonight. This is going to be awesome because we've been drinking beer since 7 o'clock. We do a quick round of intros here, and we're going to get settled in. And just to remind everybody that you can DVR the podcast or the Hangout. When you're watching live, you also have the replay and, of course, the audio-only podcast, which is growing in downloads. So thank you, everybody, for checking that out. Let's do a quick round of introductions as we get it all settled in for the night here. We're going to go to Wallace, Nova Scotia. We've got Keith Elliott, keithelliottstone.com with us tonight. Flipping over to Cape Breton, we got Carrie with us. Or was with us. I don't see him there. It was all black, but hopefully he's there on screen. Let's flip over to Halifax, North End. We got Krista with us here. Bite Size Travel. What's the other blog that you...
BiteSizeTravel.ca and YOLO40ish.wordpress.com.
Right. And we're flipping over to... Are you in Dartmouth?
Yeah.
Dartmouth, we got Lori with us.
Representing
the dark side of the harbor with us. Great to have both of them in the hangout, finally. It's great. Great to have you both there. And of course,
happy to be here, Jim.
Ah,
indeed we are.
The tingles. And of course, I'm in Halifax or on the lovely suburb of Bedford. We lost Carrie. Looks like we'll have some technical issues with Carrie, but hopefully he can jump back in as we get people jumping in, watching us again. So I'd like to thank everybody for watching, and of course, you know the routine. You can interact with us live on the YouTube, the Google Plus, and Twitter, and what else? Probably something else. Hashtag, we'll be monitoring that when we'll be checking comments here momentarily. Let's start off with the way that we normally start, which is what we are drinking tonight. Let's start with Lori. What are you drinking tonight?
Well, everyone, I am drinking Maine Beer Company Mean Old Tom. It's a beautiful stout, I got to tell you.
What's the ABV on that one?
That's an excellent question. It is... 6.5.
Ooh. Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Stout that's... aged on natural vanilla beans.
Ooh.
All right. I know. That fancy.
Sounds pretty good. Krista, what do we got tonight?
Well, I have brought a delicious offering from the land of Iceland. It's called Einstock. It's an Icelandic pale ale. And I was delighted to find this at the duty-free when I was departing Reykjavik earlier this summer. It's a nice American-style pale ale, about, what do we say, 5.6%. Mm-hmm. And they have a very poetic description on the back of where pure Icelandic water meets hops, meets magic, meets Iceland. Anyway, it's lovely. I discovered it this summer. Should I be back in Iceland anytime soon, I'm going to bring back some more.
All right. Excellent. Good stuff. We got Carrie with us. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight? Oh, did we lose Carrie again?
Maybe so.
Oh, I think it was Big Spruce.
Yeah, he did have a growler Big Spruce. Don't know what exactly he got, but hopefully he can jump in here. And I am drinking... Oh, no. Whoa. Keith, let's do it with Keith. Keith, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking too, buddy. Sea level, Planner's Paleo. All
right. Good stuff. And let's close things out here. I am drinking the Rare Bird Spruce Ale. I was shocked to see this on shelves tonight at the Sunnyside Mall. One of the privates, 5.5% ale. I just wrote a post on it on Google Plus, and the spruce is pretty harsh in this one. It's pretty harsh. There's really not a lot of sweetness to counteract the spruce bitterness. almost a little bit of mintiness in terms of, you know what I mean? I call it minty, but there's a little, that little chainsaw. It's like you start licking the edge of the chainsaw after a winter morning of cutting wood. You know what I mean? Like there's that. You know,
that's an incredibly rugged image, Jim.
Yeah, it is.
Let me get my phone.
But let it warm up, and it mellows out a little bit here. So it's, you know, it stacks up kind of nice with the others one, but it's kind of in the middle of the road of it here. Carrie's back. Are you back in, Carrie? All right, he's drinking. What are you drinking tonight, Carrie? Drink. And, of course, the audio was out, but he was drinking something.
I wonder if it's the Big Spruce, the new white one that they just put out.
That could be it. Okay, Carrie.
That could be it.
Bad audio from Carrie tonight there, so...
Spin me white round or wheat round or something like that.
Okay, there we go. Now we got it. Perfect. Tasty. All right.
Good. It's tasty. Kudos for Big Spruce. I'll see you guys later.
Okay. All right, Kerry. Having some problems there, but it's good. At least he was able to check in tonight. All right. We got a number of people watching, so thank everybody for joining us tonight. We got a nice big panel tonight. Let's start off with the first story here, which is tampered candy.
Man alive.
Yeah, we got four cases now of pins, sewing needles, or pins in the little mini chocolate bars. Now, the latest one that kind of got me curious here was the one reported in Fairview that they went all the way to Portland Estates to go get. So which makes me thinking, you know what, stop minivanning kids to different neighborhoods. Stick in your own neighborhood.
So were they found in the same general vicinity? That part I kept missing as the incidents piled up throughout the week.
Yeah, I understood that there were two in Coal Harbor and one in Portland Estates. I didn't hear about the fourth one. So,
as Dartmouth's official representative, what is your position on this?
I don't know. Like, the first one, I was like, you know, a needle accidentally got caught in a bar.
Or a manufacturing.
Or, you know, when it was being packed in a box, like, God only knows, right? But now that we're at three or four, whatever it is, I don't know. I mean, Jesus, people, get something else to do with your time than shoving needles in mini Mars bars, right?
Well, like, make a web series or something. Be productive.
Well, you know, and I was reading Halifax Examiner and, you know, kind of dismissing that as an urban myth and still not believing it until I saw the Halifax Metro, the free daily, and I see a picture of our own Jocelyn's.
I saw, mother, I heard that, yeah.
And mom being the, you know, victim number one, so to speak, with this candy. So it's kind of like, well, can't really say that they're making that up now that I know who it is, right? So,
it's long been an urban myth about tampering with Halloween. Mm. Leave it to Halifax area to deliver.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised, maybe one or two, but, you know, the fourth one today where, you know, you have to drive way across town to go trick-or-treating, like, I'm starting to think that, I don't know, I'm starting to, like, kind of, did you really get a needle, or are you just adding on to...
Well, yeah. I am curious, though, if you're, you know, law enforcement, how do you go about tracing the source of every kid in a certain neighborhood's candy? Or, I mean, it's really, you know, for lack of a better comparison, it really is looking for a needle in a haystack, you know what I mean? Because you'd have to basically map out all of the areas you had been trick-or-treating and looking for areas of overlap. And
it's very difficult. I would think that unless they knew exactly which house, you know, the kids only do, like, four houses or 10 houses or, you know. But it's kind of hard when you're minivanning the kids from one neighborhood to the other.
I don't understand that either.
You can just buy candy in a store. Like, you don't have to drive across the city for it.
Exactly. All right, let's do a quick shout-out to some of our friends of the Hangout here, and I'll let you know what's going on in the craft beer and outdoor sector here. Garrison Brewing, they have released their Klingon Warnog beer in time for the HalCon, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and our Martello Stout is on shelves, so getting into the winter seasonal ales. Our friends at North Brewing, they had their secret birthday party for Josh, the head brewer, but they posted it on all the social media networks, so I guess it wasn't quite a secret party, but happy belated birthday to Josh, one of our favorite breweries in town. And, of course, Hell Bay. Check out their Ripa and their Honey Blonde, which hopefully I'll be able to crack open shortly. So,
where'd you get that, Jim? At one of the privates?
I got it at the privates. I got it at Bishop's.
Oh, okay.
Bishop's Cellar. All right. So let's do a quick check on comments. Keith, I'll get you on the YouTube page.
I'm there.
All right, perfect there. We'll get you on there. Just first read off a comment from Bluefin all the way up in Newfoundland. I don't know if he's on the platform tonight or not, but he says, "Hey, gang, I'm on shore again tonight." Answers the question. So I get to enjoy a few beer with you guys tonight. My first selection is a Hops and Robbers Extra Delicious IPA from Double Trouble Brewery in Guelph, Ontario. This says it's a strong beer, and it is 5.7. I'll let you know how it is a little later.
Well, thanks, they get an A-plus for the name. That's wonderful.
Hops and Robbers.
Hops and Robbers.
All right. And Keith, do we have any YouTube comments so far?
There's a couple there, Jim. GC Storm says, "Hello, guys, and hello to the new guest on the panel. To recognize yesterday's international stout, Pickrooms Timber Hog Stout."
Yes.
Call. And Slow Rover says, "What the? It's like I'm watching Twitter, enjoying a nice Pilsner from Creemore Springs."
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Neil and Roger. Getting good coverage from Newfoundland to Ontario tonight. So we're doing pretty good coverage-wise, and plus all the others that are watching live here from Twitter. We're seeing the streams coming through here. We got... Elliot Krista on Twitter says, "Oh yeah. God, oh God, those assholes." And Trudy from...
Krista's welcome to join us. We can have two of them.
Yeah, and Trudy from BC, Vancouver, having a dark matter from Hoyne here. Hoyne from BC, so I'll have to look that one up. I haven't heard of that one before, so thanks, Trudy, for jumping in. So now we're coast to coast, literally. So it's good stuff. It's good to have everybody in here tonight. All right, let's move on to the next story here, which is a report from Health Canada that wind turbine noise is not linked to health problems.
You know, I don't think that's going to be satisfactory for people that are concerned about this. I mean,
no.
Government research holds a certain amount of credibility with various communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is all, it's really easy to say, well, that's very convenient.
$2.1 million study in almost 1,300 homes or in Ontario in PEI near turbines. They measured about 4,000 hours of measuring noise levels and such.
I guess the way I look at it is there's so many NIMBY people around. I mean, there's people up here that don't want fracking, that's fine, but then these same people, they don't want wind towers of any kind anywhere that they can even see them, even if they're miles off in the distance. So you don't want dirty oil and you don't want clean wind. What do you want? Do you want a tallow candle
in
your little cabin? I don't know.
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. Laurie and I just got back from Europe, and in Spain, they use a lot of wind power. So a lot of the area that we were walking through, on both sides, on the top of mountains, as far as the eye can see, you just see wind turbines from end to end to end. And
not the mountains where you never knew them.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they just do it in Europe, and you know,
I'm sure.
Oh yeah, well, it's not any less a regulated environment there. In fact, with the EU, it's probably more regulated than what we do in North America.
Yep, for sure.
What I laughed at, I suppose, in the article was that the louder the turbines got, the more angry people got. And I'm like, well, yeah, right? Well,
sure, I don't want one in my back, right in my backyard, but yeah.
Like, you know, like the wind turbines are on the Tantramar marshes between New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. It doesn't bother me at all, and doesn't seem to be any houses nearby, so...
Lots of wind coming from some direction out there. There's always wind blowing on the marsh.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not a problem. We'll be doing a drive up to northern New Brunswick tomorrow, and at one point over Mars Hill on the main side as you drive up around Florenceville, you see on top of the mountaintop the Mars Hill ski hill on one side, and then on the other side or on the top you get the row of windmills there, I think 12 or 13. Don't hear anybody complaining about that wind farm. So,
I mean, people are and society are trying to move away from fossil fuels to produce power and alternatives and things of that nature. And I don't know that they're ever going to find a technology or a combination of technology that's going to be perfect. That's ultimately what it is, right? So how can they determine what's better than fossil fuels if they never allow any type of experimentation or some type of staggered implementation where people can take a long view into whether or not it's a viable alternative technology or not, right?
I think it is viable. PEI, there's been peak times in PEI where the whole island is running off of wind.
Oh my God. Well, the area where the Mrs. is from in PEI, you know, the trend was for the farmers was to basically lease out the land to the windmill instead of, you know, as they're getting out of the farming, you know, as we get into the generational shift, right? You know, you have all this farmland that's gonna, you know, stop being produced, so get something out of it by doing some of the windmills here. So, and besides, anybody who played SimCity would know that windmills is probably one of your best sources of power for a happy city.
You know, that is true. The very limited amount I played with Sims, that worked out very well for me. Mm-hmm. I think the point bears repeating that energy demand, try as we might, energy demand isn't likely to decline significantly. And that's because we have these homes that are larger and larger and larger and more devices to plug into them. And, you know, the more things that you have, the more energy you need to produce them. And that has to come from somewhere. So,
yeah, exactly. Until the solar panel situation gets to the point where we can run off the sun or have batteries to top off, we're going to need, as you say, we're going to need something from somewhere, right?
Well, and I think the solution isn't any one thing. I mean, that's something that we kind of struggle with in Nova Scotia, where there's an expectation that one thing will solve whatever the immediate problem is in front of us, and it's
magic
not going to be the
case.
Exactly, and it's not going to be the case with lots of things that I deal with in my regular daily life and working for the province, but I think energy is a good example of that, and food security is another, and transportation is another, and you can just go through the whole myriad of issues that we deal with in the province, or anywhere in Canada, and there won't be one perfect solution that will make everybody happy, but there might be some things that are a little closer to getting us to a compromise.
Oh yeah, exactly. Another important thing that we need to discuss is the fact that the Tim Hortons in Shetty Camp in Cape Breton. We'll be closing December 21st, 23rd. Ain't selling enough donuts in Shitty Camp.
Well, I think they probably do all right in the summer, but I imagine winter is a bit rough for them up there, if you're the
friend. Yeah,
I can see that for sure. I mean, some places in Guysborough, they have the Robin's Donuts and the gas station and the convenience store all in one, so I'm sure they do all right, a lot less overhead and whatnot.
Mm.
But yeah, I imagine when there's fishing going on in Shetty Camp, tourism, they're busy, but probably a long winter.
I imagine so.
I'm surprised they haven't done what they do up in PI in Cavendish. They just September long weekend comes. They just bore up the plywood.
They do that shit.
The Tim's in Shediac?
Not the Tim's, but some of those fast food joints. They're done by end of October, whatever. They're gone till spring.
Wow, really?
Yep.
I'm surprised.
Seasonality, but I think that one has only begun to be an issue, because the community will want something to replace it.
You need your community, I don't want to say you need your community center, but you need a place for people to have their morning coffee and their chit-chat, right?
They're called third places in urban planning lingo, and they're really important to communities, so you have another place to go other than your home and your work. And they can be any numbers of things. They can be churches, they can be cafes, they can be bars, but people like having other places to go to interact with people. I guess that wasn't that sophisticated a thought. But, for a small community, it's really important to have a place to go.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
What I find fascinating, again, about that article was the fact that it really took the Tim Hortons closing in Shetty Camp for people, I think, to realize that their community is kind of in jeopardy as a continuing and sustainable community. And the idea is that the folks are becoming more locally engaged in community minded. So while it's kind of shitty, there is a nice byproduct in the fact that I think that the citizens, where they may not have been as cognizant of the decline of the population and the city before, are now recognizing it and becoming more engaged, right? And trying to help figure out what to do to make Shetty Camp a sustainable community, right? And not just kind of die out.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And there are communities all across Canada and in North America that are in a very similar situation, because they are also dealing with a lot of the same issues that we see here in Nova Scotia, where you have a population that is moving away from rural communities, and what do the people who choose to move there or who stay there, there's a lot of pressure on them to keep their communities going.
Yeah, and it's not smaller communities like Shetty Camp. You can go up to bigger communities to, 5, 8, 10,000 people, and they struggle with the same issues. So.
Absolutely.
Well, Keith went through that over the winter and the spring with the Ultramar, right?
Over a year ago now, yeah.
Yeah, so that was that took a big community involvement to get the gas station and convenience store back up and running in the community.
Actually, you want to hear a funny quick little story about that?
Yeah.
Just this past summer, a car pulled into the store. I went down at lunchtime. Car pulled in, a woman got out of the car. She's from Quebec, and she walked in. She said, "Oh, this is the Wallace Ultramar." She said, "You don't know how many hundreds of people called us about this to get it open again." She said it was the most feedback we had about any station in the country. She was on vacation, her friend were on vacation, they're heading to Cape Breton. It was kind of funny.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool, though, when you get that kind of feedback afterwards. Speaking of feedback, we'll do a quick check on comments. Just a reminder, everybody, it's Friday night hangout. Grabbing a brew. Alcohol is hidden right about now. We're going to be checking on the Twitter, and Michelle McCann up in Colchester County. It says here, lots of wind turbines popping up in the county. I can see the Net Beam Melton Farm from my house. Well, my street, she says. Trudy says here, we like that Lori can use shitty and cognizant in the same thought.
That's because she is a classy lady, but the classy is with a K.
And Michelle agrees with that same thing, that she observed that same thought there. And we have Lorraine here just retweeting the hangout here, so thanks for Lorraine for doing that. Another one of the many viewers. Keith, got anything on the YouTube?
Hang on, I'm just making sure, because you know what YouTube does.
Yes.
All right. Grease Stan says, every case involving Halloween treat tampering that wasn't Urban Legend was a case of family and her relatives doing it, he thinks. Jason Spears says, hi, everyone. Having a homebrew oatmeal stout.
Ooh.
Mmm.
Grease Stan says, these windmill studies have been done in other countries for 25 years. See Denmark. And have the studies shown how much horseshit these complaints are? The windmill is nowhere near as loud as a train or a highway. Let's see, he says. Yeah, we pretend loud windmills are louder than the average rural 80-kilometer-an-hour road. He also says, I never understood why Tim's was the poorer place to stay, but then I don't drink coffee. So
that is for some, it's more than a place to have coffee. You know, you go into any small town that has a Tim's there, and you see the local community in the corner there. Keith, you couldn't join us with our trip down to Maine. We cross over the border to Holton, Maine. We stop at the Tim's for a little spot of lunch, and then in the corner we had the four old guys.
Well, that's typical.
You know, just they're there. They're there for the day. Of course. Let's see. Any other comments on the YouTube?
I'll finish at a camp. Not that I like Tim's coffee.
Oh my God.
We're so harsh tonight.
I love the idea of Tim's as a cultural institution, but I've never been able to get on board with the coffee. So. Okay.
I think there's
one more. The good people of Shitty Camp.
Shitty Camp is going through some tough times here. Restain says here, and it's coming for some reason. This one's coming through the Google Plus comments. Worse than Tim's closing, I heard that the local rink is shutting down this year. Hmm. Is there more to that comment, Keith, on the YouTube page? It kind of got cut off here, but
I don't see it because my comments, you know, they go from 8 to 10 to. Back to 8.
Crazy YouTube. Mm-hmm. Hang on a second. Yes, go ahead.
There it is.
I was just going to say, has anybody else ever heard about the Glace Bay Minor Hockey 50-50? I know this is kind of off base, but it's huge. Like, they do 50-50 draws every week. And I think like the smallest draw is 15,000, and the actual individual take up to $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
What?
I'm not joking. Somebody on the Google or confirm it. It's incredible. They started a number of years ago, and it's sold at like corner stores and so on and so forth. All through, you know, CBRM and things of that nature, and it's Glace Bay Modern Hockey 50-50, and they raise enormous money for modern hockey.
The ones that they do at the Mooseheads game get pretty substantial.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a 50-50 for something.
Yeah, but this it's
with an appropriate lottery license.
What license? What?
But I wonder, I've never seen that kind of 50-50 replicated anywhere else, you know, in Newfoundland or anywhere else in the province. And I don't know why in Glace Bay it is huge. And I'm not kidding. It's like $60,000 Christmas time is the individual person's take.
Is it Glace Bay's version of the IWK lottery?
Well, no, I mean, it's 50-50. It's a $2 ticket, five for three, three for five, or whatever it is. You know, it's just normal, but they raise enormous money.
Maybe it's Glaze-based version of El Gordo, the Spanish one. But that is for like a billion euro.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, on the Wooden Chores website, we got Bluefin comments here. Welcome to the new panelists. Always nice to see the new faces. I missed the first 3 minutes, so later I'll check out the intros a little later. He also comments here, how loud are the turbines? I have never been very close to them to hear them. Here in Newfoundland, there are a few places with them. In Renews, there are a few, and I have not heard of any complaints. Solar power seems pretty expensive right now, but this should come down in price soon. My friend buys his solar panels from China, much cheaper than North America. He has his cabin totally powered by solar and is sad to see smaller communities struggle to survive. It is so common here in Newfoundland right now. And on Twitter, we got Trudy. Trudy says, you say shitty camp, and I hear shitty camp in the accent. Well, now here's my problem. Well, my problem. One, beer. Two, I want to say shitty camp. Shitty camp in French, but then what do the locals call it? Shitty camp. And so ask me on Tuesday when I get back from visiting my parents and see what the accent is. After a few days.
Yeah, we'll do an accent test.
Yeah. It gets a little ticker with the beer.
Oh, you don't say.
All right. Michelle says, Tim's coffee is my worst case scenario for caffeine consumption. Larry O'Keefe says, you're not from Marguerite. Not from Marguerite. And Keith, what? Keith, you're in the hangout. Don't comment on Twitter. What the hell, son? I'm not reading your comments.
You better not.
All right, let's do a quick round of what we are drinking tonight. Friday night hangout, having a good time. Good time for the new panelists, Krista and Lori. Hopefully they can join us more often here. So, Keith, what are you drinking tonight, my friend?
Sea Level. Planters Pale Ale.
How you like that one? Do you have that? Have you had that one often? Or?
I haven't had that in a while. It goes down pretty fast.
Yeah. Pretty nice beer. Very nice beer. I was tempted to pick up their blueberry and their pumpkin ale this year, but opted for something else. Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking an Icelandic pale ale from Einstock that the good people of Iceland produced for me.
And it's still as good?
It is delicious.
All right.
And the country is fantastic.
A lot of people see. Now, we do have direct flights from Halifax to Iceland, right? How much is a ticket to Halifax, Iceland?
Well, I did a layover there on the way back from London, or I did a stopover there, they call it. You can stay for, get to Europe from Halifax through Reykjavik, and you can stay up to a week, and it's basically included in the price of the ticket. So my one way back from London was about $500, and I'd gone few weeks earlier on a different route, but mm-hmm. It's very competitive, and you get great connections into Europe, and you can stay in, I stayed in Iceland for 3 days, and it was not enough time. Like, it's very much tied into their national tourism development strategy. Like, they get you there, it's amazing, you go back, it was just wonderful, yeah. And it's a very civilized country. Everything.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's very well. We were there in the summer, so it was daylight all the time. But everyone's just really friendly and not like outwardly friendly, but they're like very relaxed and just easy to deal with, and gives you good directions, and they make fine beer and lots of local liqueurs and spirits and.
Don't they have the most amazing hot dog on the planet?
They do. They have the best hot dog on the planet.
All right. Gonna have to Google that.
Yeah, they cook them in beer.
There you go. That's why. That's why. Lori, what are you drinking tonight?
I am still working on my main brewing, main beer company, Mean Old Tom, which is a stout, and it's a 6.5%. This was a company, I had never heard of them before. It was recommended to me by Monochrome God off Twitter, Andrew Murphy. Mm-hmm. And I went down and I bought three or four different types of their beer, and I must say I enjoy everything. They're very much in demand. You can rarely get their stuff in like the private liquor stores just because they sell so quickly right out of their brewery. But I managed to score a few, and that's what I'm drinking right now. I will be moving on in a couple of minutes to something else.
All right. Now, are they from Bar Harbor or in the Freeport area?
They are in the Freeport area, if I'm not mistaken. And, yeah, they're in Freeport, Maine, and it's just off the highway. Like, literally, if you're coming from New Hampshire or, you know, it's just, like, to the right, and it's right off the highway. Ooh. And it's a nondescript kind of small building, but they have some beautiful, beautiful beer. I recommend it highly.
Is all the packaging so simple? Is that a design choice?
Everything. Yeah, everything is just like that.
Yeah, it's hard to tell through on the screen. It looks like it could be printed off of their laser jet printer.
Yeah, it literally could be like a laser jet.
Yeah. Sick, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. And I am drinking Hellbane Honey Blonde Ale. And I got to say, I have been drinking the spruce from Rare Bird. It's kind of cutting the beer... not so good. I'm not really getting any flavors out of this, so we'll take a few sips. But I have tried this on tap at Lion and Bright, which I thought was really tasty. So once my taste buds recover from the spruce, hopefully I'll be able to enjoy that. All right, let's move on to the next topic. And let's see here. Halcon. Is this weekend. Started a few hours ago. This is where if you were to cruise down Halifax, you see Klingons and cosplay, and just really odd because it was in November. People aren't going to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, it's just like a cool time of year to do that sort of thing.
You know? Has anybody looked through Twitter to see if there's any pictures, cosplay pictures, or is that going to be tomorrow?
There was an engagement on the floor tonight. I saw that. I retweeted that. Yeah, you know, I love the idea of Halcon. I don't love anything enough in the world to do cosplay or that sort of thing, but I love the enthusiasm and the creativity that goes into it. Like, because a lot of these people make their own costumes from whatever resources they can assemble, and I really admire that level of, I guess, ingenuity.
Keith, didn't you and the missus go down a couple of years ago?
Yeah, we went 1 year just to see what it was all about. It was pretty crowded. It was in the Lord Nelson that year. The lineups were crazy. There's not too many. I don't know. There's not too many people that stand in line hours and hours to meet. But we ended up meeting a couple of the guys that did Mystery Science Theater.
This year we have dude from Voyager.
Yes.
What's his name?
I don't know, but I liked him.
What was
his character name? The other day.
What was his character name? Is the Asian guy in Voyager, Star Trek Voyager?
Was he the Anson?
Wasn't Tom?
I didn't watch Voyager.
Harry Kim.
Yes.
There you go.
Anson Kim,
there you go. All right, he's in town. Or maybe he flew off, I don't know. Who knows? Last year, weren't we supposed to get Xander from Buffy?
Yeah, that got in trouble.
Billy Lane was
here. He's got trouble.
Yeah,
that guy keeps going to cons and getting drunk and getting thrown in jail. So he needs to just kill.
Stop it.
Wasn't Lando here last year?
Was Lando here last year?
Yeah, I think it was the last year or the year before. Billy D?
Yeah, he's been here.
Yeah. Well, my office is across the street from World Trade and Convention Center, so I happened to be over in Scotia Square, and running a couple of errands today, and I was walking in front of the Source. So if anybody's familiar with Scotia Square, like, the Source is, you know, in the middle of the mall, and there was a lot of people, and the lineup went all down the Source through, like, down past Dollarama, all through the the underground Pedway, right to the World Trade and Convention Center, and that was the lineup.
They were lined up through that path.
Yes.
As
far back as the Source at about 10:30 this morning to get in.
That is insane.
That is insane. I saw every costume known to humankind. I knew about three of them. One of them was Indiana Jones, and I was like, oh, and then I didn't know anything else. But it was incredible, the lineup. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I really need to start to playing some more video games, because a lot of these costumes are video game characters, and I don't recognize any of them. So.
Comfortable with my amount of knowledge.
Yeah. What I found so fascinating as well was that you had men dressed in costumes that were very feminine, and you had women who were dressed in costumes that were very masculine, and it didn't matter. It was your favorite character was your favorite character, and this is the costume that they did, which I thought was kind of neat, right? So, there was a lot of shagging people in, well, they weren't shagging, but there was a lot of people in line waiting to get in.
They will. It's like a really big weekend for that community.
Big weekend, and hopefully I hear they fixed the issue from last year, which Fire Marshal kicked out on the big Saturday. I remember we were driving to New Brunswick to visit the folks, and I was following stuff on Twitter, and all of a sudden I keep seeing in my timeline people were getting kicked out. So,
yeah.
Looks like they fixed that problem.
Well, before the demand blew up last year, I guess, really was the end result of it. But, they'd always been able to do these basically open tickets, so you could just buy a ticket for whenever and just show up any day and it would be fine. And then last year, just like the popularity of the event just... And they ran into some very serious crowd control issues. The organizers have been very... very good about communicating how things are going to work this year and how this year it's not going to be a problem. And, they seem to be very confident. And so far, it sounds like it's going great. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I'm hoping to see more on Twitter tomorrow as I drive up and get some updates here.
Tomorrow's going to be a great day for it.
Yeah, I think the other thing that they did is last year they allowed the general public to go on level one, which was the vendor area. And this year you have to have a ticket to get in, and I think that might have been part of the problem last year, is that, you know, you could walk into shop, and I'm sure the fire rules were and fire marshals were at attention.
All right, let's do a quick shout-out to some of our friends here on the Hangout, some of our supporters. Sea Level Brewing, they got their Crossing Muddy Waters Brown Ale available in cans and growlers. You can go check that out, or you can get it on tap in Wolfville at the pub there, which is, the name escapes me. Picaroons, their Winter
Pub. Wolf,
the Port Pub. What's the other one in the Wolfville side?
The library.
Okay. I thought it was somewhere. Okay, wait. My fault for not putting that information down on my notes here. Picaroons, their Winter Warmer is finally here. They had their launch event earlier in the week, so definitely check that out. If you're in the Fredericton area, you can bring in any growler and go to the New Brunswick Liquor store in Fredericton and refill the growler with the Winter Warmer. So that I might have to... do that tomorrow. We're passing through, so we might have to do that. Or at least on the way down. The Ladies Beer League, they had their board of directors meeting on International Stout Day, which was on Thursday. And what a great way to schedule your meetings on beer days.
So, well, women are very efficient like that.
They're
very efficient. Speaking of efficient, Halifax is roundabout crazy, folks.
We are cuckoo for roundabout.
Brand new roundabout opened up in Fall River. For those who drive in that area, where the Petro Canada off the 102, before the merge with the 118.
I can't imagine this will make things worse. It can only improve there, because anytime I go through there at any short heavy volume, it is a shit show.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, tonight I had to drop the dog off at the kennel, which is by the airport, and I was driving through that. I could still see it. I'm not familiar how far the lineup is coming from the Dartmouth, taking the off-ramp at Miller Lake. How long is that? But definitely the backup that I've always known was coming from the 102, you know, coming out of Halifax on the Halifax side and trying to get on the off-ramp there. Everything seemed to be moving pretty good when I was driving and taking a quick peek here. So, and haven't seen any accidents or complaints from anybody there. So looks pretty cool. The province is planning, or Halifax is planning, a lot more of the roundabouts. And, you know, and I mentioned this before, as long as people know how to drive and obey the speed limit, it should be fine, right?
Yeah. I mean, in Halifax, we're in the process of having two constructed near the Halifax Common to replace a couple of pretty challenging intersections there. And from a traffic safety perspective for drivers, I mean, the stats generally bear out that they are a little bit safer because you don't have as much direct confrontation. But, I mean, I walk through that area all the time, and it's really... I'm really concerned that this is not going to be a safe place for pedestrians to tread anymore once the roundabouts are in there, because there will be nothing to stop them other than just knowing how to be good drivers.
Yeah. That is so true. Keith, what's the nearest roundabout in your area?
They put one in Truro. I think they're going to put another one in. I know Antigonish has two or three. New Glasgow has one. I mean, once you're in them, you're in them. I think they're a good idea. The only thing is, some of the new ones are a little too tight for
yeah,
like big trucks and tractor trailers. They can't even get around them properly.
Mm. Yeah, that's my problem with Nova Scotia highway infrastructure. Whatever the range, let's say for an on-ramp has to be 100 meters to 200 meters or 300 meters long. Halifax or Nova Scotia, they'll take the smallest number allowable for an on-ramp. Yeah, like, an on-ramp.
I've never been through the New Minus one. That is wild. I'm from that area. And when I go, even now when I drive through it, I'm like, I don't know about this. Because it is a very compact amount of space to try and shove a bunch of traffic through.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. We went by there a couple weeks ago. And yeah, not only have to decide which lane to get in, which I got in the wrong one to get out. The problem occurs when they have like three lanes, and then two of them goes into the circle, the other one kind of goes the shortcut.
Away.
Yeah, away. So that's a little bit of a problem here, but it's true. A little tight. The one in Summerside PI, you can see the skid marks of people just going straight, just straight through. But yeah, that one needs to be a little bit too big. But you know what? Once they get the roundabouts around the not five corners, but around the
Are they coming around the Willow Tree? No.
Gee, that would be too chaotic.
Oh man,
that'd be crazy. That would be crazy.
I can imagine it's probably having a very overall positive impact out in Fall River, so because that was just unmanageable.
Yep, agree with you there. All right, let's move on to the next topic here, which is, and then we'll do a check on comments. CRTC to cable companies, no more forcing customers to give cancellation notices. So
yes.
This is a change. So starting in the new year, you no longer need to give them 30 days notice. You can just cancel, which
Well, honestly, I haven't actually had a problem with that. Where I've had a problem in the past is when they charge you a cancellation fee and are very vague on the details why.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that in Canada we have a complaint mechanism through the – there's a Telecommunication Complaints Commission that exists solely to receive complaints from people about their service or billing or things like fees that are they think they're being unfairly assessed. And all of the telecom companies and cable companies will, you know, like pull a muscle to try and get those complaints removed from the system before they progress to any sort of remedy stage. So you can actually be pretty effective in getting if you're not being effective getting service through their regular customer service channel, you can file a complaint and your issue can get resolved very quickly.
Since I cut cable a number of years ago, I don't know. I feel kind of moot, but Keith, you got like satellites and cables, and you're like all wired up there. Is this going to help you a little bit? Or? Yeah,
I don't see canceling anytime soon. The deal we have now is a pretty good deal for satellite. We got it last fall, but we had to cancel our existing service, and sure enough, they said, "Oh, your last bill just went out. You're gonna have to wait a month before we will disconnect you." But I can't see disconnecting. I can't see switching again. It's just a hassle, and you know, it's all treehouse all the time on the dish here. So,
Lori, are you?
I've been with the local cable company since I moved here in 1996, and. You know what? I never find anything on the fucking channel to watch anyway. So I'm on another beer. Sorry. I don't see myself moving to another cable provider because ultimately they're – I don't want to say they're all the same, but they all – each one of them come with their own issues. Yeah. And the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And, you know, if I find that the bill is starting to get unwieldy for me, I call them and just say, you know what, you're going to have to be, what can we do to try to remedy this, or I'll just, like, cut the works of it. And usually they're fairly accommodating, but it chaps my arse to pay a lot of money to have nothing. And really and truly, tonight, while I was waiting for the Friday night hangout to start, I was flicking around the channels. It was desperate, absolutely desperate. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame anybody for deciding to cut cable because there's other alternatives. There's Apple TV. There's Netflix. There's, you know, online streaming. There are so many other options out there now that cable companies really better pick up their pants because there's going to be a lot more people deciding to cut the line because you have to look at it and go, what in the hell am I spending like $100 for mm-hmm. when you can get it for much cheaper using other avenues?
Well, you know, yeah. I cut my cable this summer and it's like you said, everything that I want to watch, I can watch on streaming or Netflix. The only thing I don't have anymore is a news channel to run as background noise. But other than that, I've not looked back because it's the same thing. I had some ungodly number of channels on digital, and you would think with 100 and some odd channels or whatever, there would be something. But there really isn't. It's all just, you know,
stars
and Duck Dynasty and idiots getting drunk on television, where we are idiots who get drunk on the internet, which is a totally different thing.
Totally recorded. Well, you know, you talk about news channel for background noise. CBS News, they launched on Thursday their new news channel, called CBS News, and they've totally packaged this for mobile live streaming consumption. So if you go to cbsnews.com, you're going to see somewhere in red on the top, I think it's called cbsn.cbsnews.com. You can stream it. You can get the live stream, and you just click play, full screen, put it on your phone. I was doing this. I had the iPhone. I had my Bluetooth speaker. had that in the corner here, had this all set up. I was doing stuff here on the laptop, and I was just, that was the background noise. You know what? It was working great.
Is it better quality than freaking CNN?
That's not asking for a lot.
No, yeah. Well, it's not.
Well,
better job than CNN.
It's a
lot. I like knowing exactly how I'm going to die at any point in the day. Thank you very much.
Well, you know what? I don't know if they're trying. Like, I've only watched maybe 2 hours of it or streamed 2 hours of it. It looks to be more, they're trying to be a little bit more serious. They are only doing, I guess, 15 hours of actual live news coverage, so depending on the time that you're going to watch. I don't know if you were to go on now, what you would get. I mean, after the Hangout. Anyway, check it out. Yeah, it might be something cool. I don't know if they have it all, because usually that kind of stuff, they block it if you're outside the U.S., but...
Well, yeah, that's pretty amazing that you can actually stream it.
Yeah, so for those of you who do want an American cable news or news outlet, give CBS News a thing a try there. So
I'll check that out before they geo-block it, because that's another... just another option to have noise on in the background when you're running around on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And then just what you were saying there, you know, you're talking the Apple TV, but you can use the Chromecast and just stream that thing to your TV and you're good to go. So, all right, we're going to do a quick check on comments, and I think we're going to have lots of comments here. We'll give a chance for Keith to refresh, and I'm going to read off some of the comments here on awardingchores.com. Bluefin here says here that, man, he's been busy commenting here. All right, his Hops and Robbers beer was really good. Nice hoppy flavor, but now it's gone on to Hoegaarden. It's a great beer. I would love to go to Iceland and do some diving. They have amazing places to dive out there. I imagine it would be. He says, Sci-Fi on the Rock is held every spring. It's always a good time. Hope we get Picaroon's Winter Warmer again in Newfoundland. I enjoyed it so much last year. The Kitty Vitty Winter Ale was excellent as well.
Ooh, Kitty Vitty.
That is a good idea to get rid of the cancellation notice for cable companies. And he says, Lori, I agree. You are better staying with the same company. I really wish I could convince the family to cut the cord. And tonight's show is very interesting and fun. Keep it up, he says. So. Thanks, Mike. I don't see anything new on Twitter. Keith, what do we got on the YouTube?
Oh, I haven't done it in about half an hour, so we have a few. Roland Spears says, hey, Larry, I've heard of the Glace Bay 50-50.
No!
Jason Spears says, the Antigonish 50-50s average 15,000 per week. The Straits average 50-50 averages 6,000.
Damn.
Reese, you need to get on these good 50-50s.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I keep trying to convince my brother to try to set that up in St. John's, Newfoundland, because, and I think what happens is those 50-50s actually, they very much supplement the ice time because it's so expensive, and a lot of the kids and their families just can't afford the cost. Hockey, to have a child in hockey is atrocious cost. And I think that these 50-50s, particularly in Glace Bay and now Antigonish, New Glasgow or whatever, go far to supplement the cost of the in particular the ice time. So.
Grease Stain also says, no, I'm trying to find my spot. That's all refreshing. As a fellow that grew up on the west side of the island, there isn't that people... or money, there isn't enough people or money to run a 50-50 like that. What else do we have here? Slurver says, I think the windmill issue is more likely one of very high or very low frequency vibrations, but still, I don't want to live next to Tufts Cove either. We need to develop better power sources. I would love to go to Iceland. My father has been there a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Moved on to a Yerbach Dirk beer from Creemore. I'm not sure about the name.
Okay.
Equally delish. GM, any more thoughts on your live brewing hangout?
Live brewing hangout. Well, you know, I need to master what the hell I'm going to do after I do my mash and try to get it. So right now you can see behind me, there's my brew house right behind me here. So So I need. So I do brew in the bag. I mentioned the last few times. So I put a mesh bag inside the steel container here, and I put all my grains in there, and then I have to lift this bag. As you can imagine, it holds a couple liters of water. I have to let this thing drain, but, you know, it's heavy. I need some mechanism to do that. So
does mechanism or muscles?
No, I need a lever. I need a pulley. I need rope. I need... look, I can hold... The thing is... You need to let it drain for like 20 minutes. So I'm not gonna hold. Be a good workout. You know, I'm not gonna hold 30 pounds of wet grains here to
cut a hole in the ceiling.
Are you asking me to come out and help you with it, Jim? Because I will.
You know what?
She goes to boot camp. You know.
Well, I know. I've been checking out her guns there when I go see her at her cubicle. You know, she's there and she's like, you know, she just.
Gun show.
Kissing the biceps and stuff, and you know those, you know, the machine there, not the machine, the little spring thing. You know, she just does this all the time. And,
that's
yeah.
Right. Constant motion.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Once I get the whole thing perfected, basically I'll do the live brew hangouts. So anyway. Moving on, next topic. Next comment there. Keith, should I have a few more?
Okay, back to the comment. Grease Danos says, someday I will build a power armor suit from Fallout. He's referring to the...
Oh, yes, Halcon, I guess.
Said Keith's Oktoberfest cosplay was a pretty solid effort. Slow Rover says, Roland Spear says, what, no Lord of the Rings costumes?
I know, I know! I was so disappointed there was no Gimli at all.
There will be Lord of the Rings costumes there tomorrow. Do not worry.
Oh, I'm sure there will. GC Storm says, onto a Mad Max IPA from Muskoka. Grease Stain says, roundabouts are good unless you're an idiot, but being an idiot around roundabouts will cost you. I drive a couple a day in the city already. Mm-hmm. Lower says, Nova Scotia Department of Transport lives off of camber decreasing radius exit ramps. I don't know if I'm reading that right or not. DC Storm says, guys, the 4x4s just drive up over the center of the new Minus roundabout anyway. Grease Stan says, sometimes the CRTC proves why they exist.
Uh-huh.
So Rover says, I wish Jossum's here to show us Jim's fractal antenna for the CRTC conversation.
Hey, let me tell you, we were talking about the fractal antenna this week. As you know, Jossum moved to Montreal, and he asked me this week, you know, what... Should he go get some streaming boxes, you know, an Apple TV, a Chromecast, whatever? But he's paying for cable. I said, well, you know, other than getting on-air, over-the-air TV channels in HD, you know, get a fractal antenna. But other than that, you know, you already have an Apple TV. You already have a smart TV with the apps on it. What more do you need?
There's a lot of channels there, too.
Yeah, in Montreal, yeah, they would have all the channels, and I think, depending where you are, you can get some of the American ones from Plattsburgh.
Yeah, probably. In.
So, depending where you are in that area, you're doing pretty good with a fractal antenna. But yeah, I did mention the fractal antenna, and he laughed too. That was probably the best bit of the show. It was a good old days.
Jim, I don't know if you noticed, but Husker Mold asked us, does anybody on the panel have a favorite podcast?
Oh, I know there's one.
Cereal! All cereal, all the time.
Oh, my God, it's so good! So good!
All right, so a little backtrack here. So, This American Life, which is a very popular podcast, yeah. They were, I think over the summer, they started announcing the new podcast called Cereal. It is the same story week after week. So who can give, between you two, who can give us a good synopsis of what...
Krista, you go, because you got me hooked on it.
Okay. Well, it's in 1999, a young woman by the name of Haley was found murdered in a park, and her very recent ex-boyfriend at the time was convicted of murdering her. And so now in 2014, over the course of this podcast, what they're doing is investigating the case, the investigation, various witnesses, other resources, and trying to piece together whether this guy actually did murder his ex-girlfriend or if it was someone else. And it just gets better week over week.
Yeah. And it really comes down to, what is it, 23 minutes for this Anand guy who's been in prison since, you know, the 90s, since the crime, and he was convicted. And it is bajonkers interesting. Like, I've been
ripping storytelling.
Yeah. And the funny thing about this, I was listening to another podcast, and they had the host on, and she said that she's only 4 days ahead of when we listened to the show, so we're hearing stuff, you know, they're basically pasting stuff together as they're doing the show. They know the arc.
They're still researching it.
Yeah, they're still researching it. They know basically how it's going to go, but all the details that you get through the episode is still up for grabs. So.
Well, there was a twist this week, so.
Yes,
a nice twist.
Yes.
So that is one podcast. So I just have my phone here, and I use Downcast as my podcast app. And I'm just going to list off a few podcasts here, and you give a chance for people who want to take a pencil, a pen, or bring up their phones to check out their podcasts here. I listen to NPR Most Emailed Podcast, or Most Emailed Stories. I listen to that. Backstory, that's a history kind of podcast, always interesting. I got the Slate Daily Podcast. That is really good. They do all of them, the Gist, the political podcast, the cultural podcast, the school one. It's all of them together. So it's
They do a podcast about cereal as well. That is just cereal.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one yet. So that's Slate has some really good podcasts.
They really do.
Slate Money, which I'm not a money guy, but the money podcast is really good. For news, I got the CBC World Report. Since I grew up along the border, I have an interest in Maine, All Things Considered, Maine Things Considered podcast. On the Media Criticism podcast is a really good show. I recommend that. On the Media, Canada Land, which all the whole John Gomeshi.
Yeah, I just started listening to that. I like it.
It's a good podcast, and he brings up a good point. You know, Canada is such a small market, unlike the States. You can't survive in the podcast market like as some of the American ones with, you know, sponsors and stuff, so you have to do, like, what he's doing now, which is subscription. So basically, yeah, pay him a couple bucks a month. So I listened to the Halifax Daily News with Jamie and Lisa.
Oh, how is that one? I haven't listened to that.
You can tell that they miss working at a real radio station. Like, these were previous DJs that kind of got laid off and stuff. So,
Hillary.
You can tell Jamie really misses. He's going batshit crazy. So, and he has all the little knobs and boards and mixers and stuff. And they're only two people. You don't need a mixer. You need USB cables. That's what you need.
Yeah.
Couple of new ones that I started listening to, Curious City out of Chicago.
Nice.
They basically get questions about Chicago, so you can do these questions in any city, Halifax, Montreal, really interesting. They talked about, one that was really interesting was why Chicago was basically the north end was rich people and the south end were all the poor people. I'm generalizing here, but basically it had to do with one of the fires that burnt Chicago to the ground. And
one of the many fires that burnt Chicago to the ground.
Yeah, one of the many. And this one here, it was the decision between brick and wood that kind of decided where, you know, because before this particular fire, Chicago was very more mixed in terms of communities. And after this particular fire, the wealth segregation was really evident at that point. Another one here, New Tech City. Pretty interesting. 99% Invisible is like one of my must-haves. This American Life. cereal we mentioned. I listened to the Frank Cask from Frank Magazine.
I always forget about that one. I have to start listening to that.
I listened to that. You know what? They have really crappy audio levels. I have to turn my car radio up to, like, you know, almost all the way to get it, but it's pretty good. The Steve Austin Show. ex Stone Cold Steve Austin, he does a pretty good podcast. A new one that but you know what? He does wrestling stuff. So if you're a wrestling fan, you kind of like that stuff.
Yeah, I'm good.
The Thomas Jefferson Hour. So in the States, I guess there's a thing where people impersonate past presidents, and the best one, he's been doing in weekly podcasts every week, where his thing is to be a Thomas Jefferson interpreter, and he answers questions and he talks about stuff as Thomas Jefferson. It sounds batshit crazy.
That does sound batshit crazy.
However, it was a great. This particular podcast got me hooked.
Like, yeah. Does he answer contemporary questions as Thomas Jefferson? Because I am on board for that.
In fact, he speaks about this last podcast, the effect of news. They were taking this article from The Guardian, and it talks about the effect of news in our time versus his time. And he kind of, being a little bit more of a historian, kind of gives us a little bit more. What was news in the 1700s or 1800s versus today and all that stuff? So, what else we got? Radio Lab, which was another good podcast. Yep. Recommend that one. For those who are musically inclined, Song Exploder. So this guy brings in the band, and they deconstruct the song.
Oh, that sounds cool.
They start from the bass or the beat or whatever. The highlight was they brought in the guy who does the theme music for the House of Cards TV show on Netflix. Ooh. And I did not notice, but the theme music between season one and season two, totally different.
No way. I didn't notice either.
You listen to the podcast, and they play both of them, and it's like, that is completely different theme music. I thought it was the same one. It blew my mind.
So. Yeah.
Those are my podcasts. So
that is a very healthy roster of podcasts.
It is.
It's pretty good.
I enjoy podcasts, I must say, but I don't until Serial, Krista talked about Serial to me, and I started listening to it myself. The only other podcast that I consistently ever listened to was Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, and Carl Pilkington.
Right.
And I listen to them, even though it's 10, 15 years old, I listen to it all the time. But I must say, I don't listen to enough of them. And when I, like I said, when Krista introduced me to Serial, I was just like, why am I not listening to more of this? Because it's just like perfect for when you're working, for me, when I'm working and am writing or whatever, just this commentary in the background or discussion, it makes the day go so much better. I don't know.
I consume a lot of podcasts when I'm bent over a stone or whatever. A lot. Throughout the day.
Do you have any podcasts that I didn't mention that you want to highlight?
I know there is. Did you mention Futility Closet?
Nope.
Utility Closet's one I like. I also like I like everything from something pretty deep to, you know, you listen to a lot of them, you don't want anything too serious. I like Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social, Penn Sunday School, Smartest Man in the World with Greg Proops. There's quite a few I listen to. Under the Influence, I don't know if they still make that or not, but I've enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Say What Podcast out of Maine, that's pretty good. Yeah, I listen to quite a few.
Right. And Krista, what do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts and popular culture podcasts. So I listen to like Nerdist and Marc Maron. I listen to NPR Fresh Air because she always has great interview segments. And I really like Marin and Nerdist have kind of moved away from just talking to comedians, but I really like hearing people talk about their processes or their journeys, how they got to things. Like I really do like to know how the sausage is made. So those are really great for that. And you already mentioned the Slate Pop Culture Gabfest. I listened to that. The NPR Pop Culture Happy Hour. That's a great one. And they talk about music a lot and a lot of television, which is, even though I don't have cable anymore, I still find a way to enjoy. Another Slate podcast, I downloaded it, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I love the idea. It's called Working, and every podcast is a different person talking about what their work is like. So there's a pastor, and there's that just sounds so interesting to me, because I've had the same job for 15 years. So
I was going to say, I just noticed I have it downloaded, so...
It sounds fascinating. It's like, because again, like this week on Serial, they speak to a woman who is explaining what her work is, and I just had this moment. It's like, I totally want to do that, I found this Slate podcast shortly thereafter, and I just like the idea of hearing about other people's work and what the day is like when you're a minister or a trauma center or whatever it is, because I just think that's incredibly interesting.
And we talk a lot about the Slate podcast, and those only we mentioned, we didn't highlight The Gist. I think it's one of my favorite podcasts that Slate does, and they even mentioned the Halifax Regional Police in one of their podcasts. They were behind Twitter followers from the Halifax Police Twitter account, and they were complaining about that in one of their podcasts. I thought that was kind of hilarious. Well, they just picked the random Halifax, but definitely check that out. And I do have a Working queued up. It was in this edition here is How Does a Perfumer Work? Somebody who makes perfumes. So, definitely a lot of good stuff. It was funny. I was reading an article about podcasts. And, you think about 10 years ago, and I started doing podcasts about 9 years ago, when we first moved to Halifax. In fact, I was on my laptop in our new apartment with no furniture, no internet. I was stealing somebody's Wi-Fi, and I said, let's do a podcast. So I started doing a podcast. It was called Jim Sears' Mighty Podcast, and you might still find it online. But anyway, it was the Wild West of podcasts, and then once the term got coined with iPhones and all that stuff, things kind of went downhill. And then all of a sudden, the quality came back up. People are doing it. A lot of people are doing it. A lot of big names, big money. And I think the article mentioned one of the reasons why is because of the devices we carry, our smartphones. And we're still in the car. We're still on the bus. The fact that we can get... we can stream or download high-quality programming and able to support them in different ways, either buying their stuff or crowdsourcing and stuff like that, or sponsorship, model.
Supporting their advertisers, that sort of thing, is a product you're interested in.
Yeah, follow their Twitter account so they can, show
them. Well, that's the thing. It's easy for me, and it's free.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely getting a renaissance right now. All right, let's do a quick round of comments here. We're doing overtime because this is a really good hangout tonight. Got to really thank Krista and Lori for kicking me and Keith into shape.
Well, thanks for having us.
I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
That's good. It looks like, judging from the amount of comments here, I think everybody's enjoying having you guys on too, so it's good stuff. We'll do a quick Twitter poll while we get Keith to refresh the page here. Let's see. Stephen Graham says here, we went there this summer. I think we're talking about Shitka. Food was horrible. Accommodations were tolerable. Weather sucked. Good summary.
Shitka is lovely.
It is.
The weather can be very hit and miss.
Yeah, hit and miss. So maybe there's 20 days out of the year that Shed Camp is really nice, but Anyway, Michelle McCann says here she started listening to Serial this week. She needs to re-listen. I was too distracted to get all the details. Definitely a binge podcast. So if you haven't listened to it yet, you can download all 7 episodes. How long are they? 20, 30 minutes each?
They can vary. The shortest one, I think, was about 25, and the longest one was close to an hour.
Yeah, so if you have...
The 25-minute ones are really heartbreaking. It's like, no, more!
Yeah, and for me, like, I listened to them over, like, 2 days, and then I... Krista sent me the Reddit because she's getting glee out of the fact that I'm, like, completely addicted to it, and they actually have the transcripts of the episodes on Reddit, and so I've been... listening, I've listened to, I think, the first 3 again, and while I'm looking at the transcripts, because it is so involved and intricate, you almost have to focus in order to be able to capture everything that's going on.
Mm. Totally agree. And Husker Mold, he was saying here, for music fans, a podcast who he would recommend would be Sound Opinions.
Mm.
So that's a new one for me, so check that out. Out of Chicago, so I will add that to my downcast. So good suggestion there. Keith, what do we got on the YouTube?
YouTube, a few more comments. Grease Stan says, you need to start checking the Canadian PMs out on Twitter, folks. To hell with them Yankees. I think he's referring to your what was it? Thomas Jefferson podcast, or whatever it was.
The McKinley.
Commute. But sometimes I wish I had to take the screen just so I'd have a better chance of listening to the podcast. I never seem to find the time. Great question, though. Thanks for all the suggestions.
All right. Now, did he mention that he's going to listen to our podcast? The Friday Night Hangout podcast and not all the other ones? Is that what he's saying? I hope.
Well, he better listen to the end because that's when the real secrets come out.
That's right. We're well and truly looped by that time. Anything could be said then.
And another thing.
Yeah.
Any other comments there, Keith? Or
that's
it? Okay. All right, let's give a quick shout-out to some of our friends here, Trail Shop. You got to check out. Now, if you're part of the NSGU, you probably checked them out early in the week protesting in front of their storefront for whatever reason. However, you might want to check out their Facebook page. And they do their Shop Talk series every Tuesday, so I want to check that out. Apparently, I'm supposed to be on the schedule, but I was supposed to do talk about hammock camping, but... who knows when they're going to invite me on. So
we went to a really good packing session there for the before Lori and I went on the Camino de Santiago, and they're a great resource.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So actually, I was there last week, and I was talking to the manager, and got me in touch with the A for Adventure, that crew, Jan and Chris there. So meeting with them next week. InReach Canada, InReach. The satellite communication device, National Geographic, calls this one of the gears of the year, 2014. It's not the exact model, but this device here, so two-way communication. And let's see. What?
Breaker, breaker.
Hey, it works. Twitter, Facebook, you don't find
I'm on board with two-way radios. I know all the lingo.
Roger that.
Hey, Calgary thinks pedestrians should carry flags to cross the street. We've talked about this before, the hangout. For those who are keeping track of the news, I forget which area, Dartmouth, they
Waverly
had.
Waverly Road.
Yes. They had flags. They had little cups on the telephone poles and little flags, and you take the flag, hold it out, and you walk across the road, and that appeared to have worked. People like it. The city took them away, and they've been fighting to put the flags back on. But look at Calgary. Calgary thinks, you know, this is an awesome idea. Let's put a crap load of flags on these crosswalks. and make it happen. And they had a slogan or a
Heads up, Calgary? No?
I can't remember. I'll have to bring it up, but I don't want to bring it up. But some people don't like it. They're afraid that people are going to steal the flags and stuff. And we just had
they said the same thing here, and that has yet to happen. So
Yeah. And I think, as I was saying before the podcast or before the hangout occurred, I was up in that area on Saturday, and they've put them back. And I think I read something in the news or whatever that they were going to do that along the Waverly Road, because, and I used to live on the Waverly Road, that was like the Wild West. If you were a pedestrian, good luck to you, because people tend to pick up their speed if they're driving, and they were finding, because it is a kind of a thoroughfare into Waverly itself, that people who were trying to cross the street, they were putting their life in jeopardy. And when I was there on Saturday, they have re-implemented this flag with the little canisters on the poles by the crosswalk. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll make a difference, right? Heads up, Halifax.
I guess the big thing about this is that, you know, they needed something at eye level of the driver to give their attention. Lights that are really high up, I don't notice the lights. And, you know, just like anything else, I just don't. Halifax, the way that the streets are, same thing in Dartmouth, everything's kind of narrow. And sometimes I just don't see the pedestrians on the corner.
And I wonder if they put, you know, where they have those signals where the pedestrians hit the little trigger there and the symbol and the signal goes off, if perhaps the lights were lower, it would illuminate the person, and B, it's at eye level for the driver of the vehicle that they would... they would react quicker. Because right now, for instance, when I walk across Duke Street or a lot of the streets, the lights are way the hell up in the air, and as a driver, I would never notice it, right? But if they're at the eye level of a driver, it would, like I said, it would have a double benefit of illuminating the person crossing the street, plus giving the driver a focus that they wouldn't as likely miss, right?
Yep. Chris, are you walking to work every day? Do you agree with that?
I'm not going to disagree with my friend here.
you disagree if you feel so.
You know, I think the best way to improve pedestrian safety is to actually have more people walking, because we're in a situation now where there are so many car-dependent, completely car-reliant people that I think part of being able to drive safely for drivers and pedestrians is actually actively recalling what that experience is like. I mean, for a lot of people, even in Halifax, and Halifax is still it's not the most walkable city I've ever been in, but I've been in worse. But there are loads of people here who the furthest they walk is from their house to their car and their car to their office. And, they don't have a lot of active experience what it's like to actually cross the street or cross an intersection or try to cross a non-signalized intersection. And, all of these measures are just... They're attempts to resolve what is a larger problem than just having a flag or having a sign or having a, you know, armband or whatever the new pedestrian thing is that's going to save us. Because the same things keep injuring pedestrians and killing people.
Yep.
It's amazing just to kind of, kind of catch through. When Kristen and I went on the Camino, started walking home to Dartmouth from downtown Halifax. And being a person who either used transit or drove most everywhere in the city, being a pedestrian and walking, you know, 5, 7, 9, whatever it is, kilometers, it was an eye-opener about how distracted people are. And I don't want to say that it's just drivers that's distracted. Pedestrians are distracted. Cyclists are distracted. You know, random people on the bus are distracted. Like, everybody's distracted. And nobody really pays attention to what the hell they're doing. And unfortunately, the person who is least protected is the pedestrian. And it gets to points, you know, as a person who walks, you know, like Krista and myself, who you start yelling at random people on the street, like, use your head.
And I do
like,
that. So,
and I do too.
I will yell at you.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person to yell at folks. But really, I have no protection besides a pair of sneakers and a flimsy jacket. So if you're in a vehicle and you're, you know, careening through a crosswalk where I am in, you know, it's ridiculous. And you know, I think it's very much what Krista says. If people go in their vehicles and they're protected by a 2,000-pound piece of metal or a fiberglass or a composite, and they don't understand the impact that they could have on this person walking along a crosswalk. And again, the other flip side of that is pedestrians are incredibly distracted by their phones, their music, looking at leaves, whatever in the hell they're doing, and nobody's really paying attention to what's going on.
I know what you're saying, but the fact remains, like, most people are smart enough to not walk out in front of a moving vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't think I get so tired of this argument that, you know, pedestrians are just as bad, because 100% of my near misses are when I'm in the middle of a crosswalk.
Absolutely.
And somebody runs through a light, is trying to get through an intersection before the light changes to red. It's not because I'm too stupid to not see a vehicle heading towards me and I have no understanding of physics. That's not the issue.
No.
The issue is people already in the middle of something, and other people not doing what their jobs are.
Yeah. It's been, like I said, being a lifelong driver since 1989 and not much of a walker, becoming a active pedestrian, it's been life-changing about how, and it's changed how I've driven. Because now I'm much more cognizant of what I'm doing and crosswalks and implied crosswalks and things of that nature. Because, of course, you know, you're just more aware. I don't know.
It made me drive slower in Halifax.
Yeah.
I'm driving 40 kilometers an hour instead of whatever people drive, which is 60, 70 down the same road. So. All right, let's do a quick round of comments here. Overtime session on the Friday night hangout, which is good. Lots of comments. Everything's flowing. Bluefin here, he says here that, he says to me, Jim, set up a tripod and use a Canadian Tire rope hoist to lift the bag that's in that brew kettle there. So, yes. I need
a
tripod.
I'll just lift it for you. Don't worry about it, man. I got this.
No, hey, bring your guns over and we'll get that done. anyway, he's switching to his homebrew pale ale now. The only podcast he ever listened to was the Avoiding Chores Hangout podcast, which comes out on the weekend. And I only started that a few weeks ago. What is this technology, he asks. Anytime I've been in Halifax, I notice that drivers are much better at watching out for people walking. On the other hand, if it saves one life, it was worth it. True. On Twitter, we were still talking about podcasts to recommend, and Huskamold recommends Sound Opinions, and he was checking out for other music podcasts, Radio 4, WNYC, NPR, All Songs Considered. All good.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
All good stuff there. And Michelle McCann, she was talking about to Krista Elliott about how they need to do a hangout called What's Happening When Keith is Hanging Out and Drinking Beer. So there's some crazy stuff happening in your house right now, Keith. I don't know. There's some
serious stuff tweeting, Keith. I wouldn't put up with that.
No, don't. Just walk over to the other room and tell them what's up. It's my time. It's my time. What do we have on YouTube, Keith?
I see a couple comments. Slowover says, I thought people would steal the flags and waivers back when they put those out, but I don't think it was an issue. Also, on Crosswalk Safety, it was crazy how many people were hit when you guys had your Heads Up Halifax Day. I think instead of flags, people should have baseball bats for the pedestrians. Jim, you did a nice job on your leather sheath for your inReach.
Yeah, and, thanks.
Yeah, you did. That was nice.
Let's hear some. Like,
oh, you didn't show it off? Oh, I thought.
No, that's okay. I'll another hangout, I'll do it. I'll show it off.
Pedestrian and cyclist safety has become a big issue up here in Toronto as well. Seems almost daily that someone's hit.
Mm.
That's it?
Okay. I see, for some reason, some of these are coming through the Google Plus comments here. Greestain saying, Chris, back a few stories ago, we're talking about news in the background. Try the CBC for news. And then Greestain says, CBS over CBC, I feel sick.
Ah, they're all right.
Canada Land had a pretty good podcast this week, a short bit about how everybody was lauding CBC for their coverage of the Ottawa shooting, you know, how you do it, but they got everything wrong. Every piece of information was wrong.
They got the tone right, but all of the information completely wrong.
Yeah, completely wrong. Anyway, listen to that podcast. It's really interesting.
It's a good one. Jessica, really interesting stuff.
That's pretty much all I got here. So if I'm missing some comments from the Google Plus folks, it's not because we're doing it on purpose here. Looks like we're all up to date. All right, perfect. All right, let's do the last segment, which is, since we're doing overtime here, we're going to do the Wayback Machine. The Wayback Machine, basically, I pick a random number from some website between 1976 and 2014, and we look back at history and reminisce.
Ooh.
And this week, 2010 is the year.
Holy shit.
2010. 4 years ago. What happened 4 years ago? Now, the page on Wikipedia I kind of look at, it failed to mention that we had the Vancouver Olympics in 2010.
Thanks, Wikipedia. You're not getting enough $5.
You suck, Wikipedia.
Suck. Free information.
Stupid. You know what? 2010 was pretty much kind of year, was it? It was kind of boring, wasn't it?
Great year for Canada, if you like Canadian patriotism.
Olympics, yeah. What else we got here? I always like the births and the deaths, people who died. And it was a lot of people I don't know. There's a few things that happened in 2010. I must be loading up the wrong page.
It was that big earthquake in Haiti. Was that 2010?
Was that 2010?
Gosh, is that that long ago? Wow.
Canada offers $500 million to build a new bridge between Detroit and Windsor. But
that money's still on the table, too.
Yeah, it is.
Inception was the movie released in 2010.
Well, you know what? I was just going to say there. I was just going to jump to the movies here.
Kick-Ass.
The remake.
Black Swan,
which I haven't watched. Nightmare on Elm Street. The remake.
Was there a remake?
There was a remake. The guy from Watchmen, who played Freddy. And nobody watched it.
No. I will watch it. No, now.
That nobody. Sounds terrible.
The fact that the I was reading some articles last week about the original. That's 30 years old, too. The original.
Okay, I don't need to hear that, Jim.
Wow, how old does that make you guys, then?
Old. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That, I actually did watch that movie. It wasn't bad.
I couldn't get into it.
Shutter Island with Leo. That's the where they...
Wait, he had Inception and Shutter Island the same year?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good year for him.
That was a good year for him.
I haven't finished watching this movie, Despicable Me.
That's cute.
Oh, it's cute.
The first Expendables movie was out. Which I kind of forget, but apparently that was like the bloodiest of the...
Social Network. Movies.
Did not see.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
Iron Man 2 came out.
Easy A. I don't know if anybody. I thought that was a great movie.
Yeah. Easy A. Nope, have not seen that one. Oh, here we go. Now I've seen the original, the Let Me In. The remake of Let the Right One In, which
you guys are twisted with all these horror movies.
Well, you know, this is what's coming up on the list, girl.
Yeah.
You
fill your brains with this crazy stuff.
Well, okay, the next one on my list here is Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows 1.
Yeah. This would be a really great time to talk about my violent opposition to witches and witchcraft. I should have had another beer for that. That could get really funny and weird.
Yeah, we need to do the extended hangout.
The extended late night.
Yeah, The King's Speech was out in 2010, and that was actually quite a good movie. I enjoyed that
King's Speech. No, did not see that one. I did not see Toy Story 3 either.
No, I don't.
I'm told it gives you feelings.
No.
Apparently they're making a fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
2017?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
One that I did watch a little bit of, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I saw that at Netflix. Was it any good?
Yeah, it makes fun of the horror movie genre and the whole group of teens half naked in the woods, and they all die. It's pretty good. It's good.
For the record, they usually die through completely preventable situations.
Well, this movie really does a really good job at that. It's good. You should watch it. Get Netflix, watch that one.
I have a lot of opinions about horror movies, as you well know.
Mm-hmm. Here's a good, you know, this is a movie that I watched and I actually liked. Red, with Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman and Helen Mirren.
Yeah. Helen Mirren's on board. I'm on board. So
that's pretty good. Let's see what else we got. Okay, now this one only come up. Okay, now I'm going to mention this movie here because I was watching a YouTube video. This guy up in, I think he's in Netherlands. He was doing the most revolting or most disgusting horror movies ever. This is...
Human Centipede?
No. This is called a Serbian film.
Oh. That is gross.
That is...
Really?
Yeah, no, that's terrible.
No.
I'm not going to Google that.
No, don't. And I'm sure there'll be some comments coming through. They'll tell you, don't do it. It's not.
Yeah, I'm good. I do not need to know what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, I just Googled it!
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? No, not good at all. And then, let's see, what else? Clash of the Titans, the remake. Prince of Persia, which I didn't watch. Man, there's a lot of crappy movies in 2010.
Yeah, maybe 2010 wasn't a great year.
Oh, my God.
There seems to be a lot of sequels, you know, like Step Up 3D and Paranormal 2.
Yeah.
That's where the money is.
And a whole bunch of movies here that I'm totally did not watch. 127 Hours, True Grit, Grown Ups, Winter Bone. I did watch The A-Team.
I did too.
Heck, 4 years. 4 years ago. Oh, Lord.
The Twilight Eclipse was in 2010 as well. Because, you know, I need more Bella in my life.
More yearning.
Yes.
Yearning.
Angst.
Angst.
Teenage angst and poorly written dialogue.
Exactly.
You can get poorly written dialogue here for free. I'm on the internet all the time.
All right. Let's start to wrap things up. Time to tap out. We're doing extra long hangout. But I'm seeing the viewer counter. We're losing people. I gotta go to bed. I gotta get the kids. I gotta get them to the pool tomorrow morning or gymnastics. I gotta go. So, last round of comments. Keith, we'll get you to refresh the page here. Mike, closing off here on theavoidingchores.com, says here, 2010 Olympics. Other than that, nothing really stands out. The Expendables, weren't they on Expendables 3 or 12 by now? So,
I'm impressed all those guys are still alive.
I did watch all three movies, and I can't tell you what happens in any of them because they're just out. Anyway, he says in caps, awesome show, best one in a while. See you next week. So thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Has to do with our new panelists. They're doing a kick-ass job this week. Keith, what do we got on YouTube? We must have something on YouTube.
We have a couple more. GC Storm says, 2010, we did our first group Hammock Hang at Kenji.
Well, that sounds fun.
I'd like to talk about hammock camping at a later date, Jim.
Okay. It's fun. It's awesome. Yes.
Dan LaCroix, the last comment, 2010, best known films here were Despicable Me, Tangled, Toy Story 3, Shrek 3D, and Megamind. Can't wait until they grow up so we can watch grown-up movies.
Good stuff. All right, and I don't see any... Well, hang on. Do I see stuff on Twitter? All right, here. Slow Rover says here, great hangout tonight. Well, nice to see Jocelyn drop in from Montreal one Friday. You know what? Apparently he has all these things to do, drink beer and stuff. But then again, I just see he's replying on Twitter.
There you go.
He just replied on Twitter. But if I lived in Montreal, I would just be going for Cronettos and beer basically 24 hours a day. So I can understand why he's not with us.
I did ask him this week, and he said no. He was busy this weekend here, so he couldn't make it. He must be doing whatever he was doing there. But next week he's on, and gotta be on next week, so it's good. All right, let's wrap up. I'd like to thank the panel. I'd like to thank everybody watching, everybody commenting. Lots of comments tonight. I think this is the busiest we've been in a while, Keith, there with all the comments and such. It's great.
I understand
it. It's great, and plus you were getting feedback from the other room there from all the Twitter action going
on.
That's right. Hi, Krista.
All the giggles and that stuff.
Me Krista or Krista Elliott?
Krista Elliott.
Well, I'll respond on behalf of all the Kristas. Thank you.
Hello. All right. And just a reminder, folks, the replay will start in about 10-15 minutes once we're all done, and the podcast will start sometime over the weekend, and we'll convert it as I'm on the road tomorrow, enjoying the long weekend, well, making a long weekend out of it. So with that, thank you, panel. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll do this again next Friday.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Thanks everyone.
Okay, thanks, Krista.